everybody. How you doing? It's the old man here. Hope you're having a great day. If you missed our Monday, March 18th show, Shonda interviewed for our Authors Highlight series an author by the name of George Ellis, MD. It was a great interview, and we had a lot of fun with it. And we're going to put that out here right now for you to listen to. I want to apologize about the audio. It's a little soft with George talking, so you're going to have to really pay attention to hear it. But it is hearable. You can hear it. All right, so without further ado, here is Shonda's interview with author George Ellis.
Good morning, George Ellis. How are you today?
Good morning, Shonda. Thank you for having me on.
You are a very interesting author because you have had a whole medical career before you started writing, and you do film, and you have had some documentary productions. Tell us about that and your progression, and then tell us the title of your book.
Okay, the title of the book is A Surgical Approach to Meat Cutting. We changed it from culinary arts because it was more specific about meat cutting, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. I'm a urologist, which is a kidney, bladder, prostate specialist. I've been working for 35 years. I now dedicate my medical skills only to volunteerism, where I treat patients who are either homeless or have no insurance in the Orlando area. And I've actually been doing that for 25 years, but now I do that exclusively because I do other things, as I'll get into and as you've just mentioned. And so I have two sons, and my older son, he worked with me in the office years ago, and then he took a job in a food specialty location, and he started training as a butcher. And so one day, he would assist me at some procedures in the office, but one day after working as a butcher, he said to me, "I cut meat like..."
Uh-oh.
What happened?
George, we lost you. Excuse me.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. There we are. There. You're back. Please carry on.
Yeah. It stopped at "I cut meat."
Yeah, so my son said, "I cut meat like a surgeon because of what you taught me in the office." And
that's interesting.
So I said to myself, well, there's a story here about me, cutting as a surgeon and him cutting meat for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started working on a book about a year and a half ago, and we finished it. It's now in formatting for as an ebook and as a regular hardcover book, and so we're expecting that to come out probably in April once it's completely finished. Now, a year ago, I was with my other son in Colorado. We were hiking in the mountains, and I decided, I think I want to pursue film working because that's sort of my passion. When I was in medical school, I was an extra in a couple of movies. And then in the hospital, they would always come to us and ask us to come in the operating room to do filming. And then I was involved with a lot of public health. And so we did some promotional videos with the county. And so I said, but I want to do my own thing with filmmaking. And so I started doing that last year, and I did a couple of indie shorts that have won some awards in film festivals, and I have two projects ongoing this year, which are more elaborate. One of them is with somebody from Disney. We're going to be going to Hollywood, California to film there, and then the other project is more of a horror movie that's actually being filmed now in the St. Augustine area. So that's it in a nutshell, as far as my brief bio.
That is really amazing. So do you have certain days that you do the volunteer medical work and then you get to focus on the creative projects all the other days, or do you just kind of puzzle piece it all together as you can.
So my volunteer work is once a month. It's at a clinic that's run by the county. So they provide the staff and the supplies, and I'm able to do some minor procedures there. And then, I follow up with the patients. And then if the patients need big surgery, like I used to do, which I don't do anymore, I send them to my colleagues at the hospital for, bigger surgery, like cancer surgery and things like that. But it's a good experience. You know, everyone at the clinic is very amiable and courteous and competent. And so it's a good experience. And you know, everybody has a story. You know, the homeless, they have a story. People who don't have any insurance, they have a story. You know, sometimes they work, but they don't have any benefits with work. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so those are the patients that I treat. And, you know, they're very gracious and really appreciate being able to see a specialist because sometimes they can't even see just like a regular doctor, much less a specialist.
Right, yeah. Well, I think that's very important work, and I really appreciate that you do that. That's great. So how have you always been a writer? Have you always liked to write, or did you just decide you're going to write the story just because of the idea that your son came up with?
Well, when you're in the medical field, you're a medical student, and then you become a resident, and there's a lot of encouragement to do research and write about
publish.
It. Yeah, so I've published, a bunch of scientific papers and literature. I was with a group of other doctors and lawyers. We put together a compendium on healthcare law, and I wrote two of those chapters. And, along the way, I would write editorials in our medical society journal. And so it was always something that was of interest to me. And so, when the opportunity came up to say, hey, here's a story of the meat cutter and the surgeon and how they compare, how they are they different, how are they the same. And I'll tell you that the title of the book comes from years ago when I was a resident. One of my colleagues had a brother who was also a surgeon who climbed Mount Everest three times. And he gave us a presentation at the hospital called A Surgical Approach to Mount Everest. And that title stuck with me, and so that's how I ended up with that as the title of the book.
And did you go with a traditional publisher, or are you self-publishing?
Well, the publisher is called Clarins Publishing, C-L-A-R-E-N-S. They're in Palm Bay, Florida, and they have a whole team of folks who they give you a writing assistant to do the writing. And then, you go through the process of formatting, which is what we're doing now. And so each key person, and they're often in different parts of the country because everything is done remotely online. But, we trade emails and we share all the data. And so that's how it works. And then they are also the PR company. Their company is called At Large PR. So they're going to do all the marketing for the book. And of course, the conversation that we're having now is also part of the marketing for the book. And so,
right.
We're trying to spread the word around so that, people are aware of the book. And that once it comes out, they can, purchase the book itself or the ebook and then be able to look at it.
And what is it about in its pages? What will we find inside this book?
Well, the first nine chapters, the first chapter is introductory. It's a little bit of a bio of my son and myself and how we ended up writing this book and some of the things that we look at in the culinary arts. And then there's things about like the different knives that he uses and the different knives that I use to do surgery. And some of the anatomy, and believe it or not, some of the anatomy is similar between, say, a cow and the human, the
right.
muscle and all that. And then intertwined with all that, there are recipes that we have that are, the recipes are from different sources. Like some of them are from my mother, who was French, and recipes that we developed, and cooking with wine, cooking with beer, cooking with spirits. There's even a small segment about cooking with cannabis, and so a lot of it is about cooking and technique, and things of that nature. And then the second part of the book is a lot of diagrams that my son did of the anatomy of the cow, the specific muscle groups, and the how you're supposed to cut the meat, and how it looks, like the Delmonico and the sirloin and the New York strip. Each one of those has its own page and description of how you would cut it, and what it looks like, and what part of the cow it comes from.
And so then you're serving pectoris major for dinner.
That's right. That's right.
So I find that orthopedic surgeons often have some heavy-duty tools that look like carpentry tools. Did you find that the knives and the scalpels that you use are similar to the butchering knives that your son is using?
Yes, some of them are similar. And so when we're cutting something, whether it's in butchery or myself, the most important thing is that you have good equipment, you have good tools. If it's a knife, it has to be, sharp. Of course, you have to be careful how you use it. And of course, with looking at the two sides, for example, I'll give you one comparison. On the surface of the muscle, there's sort of a white, thick layer. Mm-hmm. For us in surgery, we call that fascia. And when we have to open that up, that's a very important part of the closure. Once we're done with surgery, it's the strength part of the closure. But in the butchery world, and those who cut meat, that stuff is discarded. It's called silver skin.
It's hard to chew, and you don't want to have it still on your plate.
Right. So that's for me, that was one of the stark differences, in that for us, it's a very important, essential part that we want to preserve. And for the meat cutter, they just discard it.
Interesting. And that probably ends up in pet food.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, that's really interesting. So how long is your book? How many pages did it end up? And how long did it take you to write?
So we started in May of 2022. And my son works full time, so he couldn't get to the book work all the time. So his part probably took a year to do, with all the images, and he had some technical support also from some of his colleagues. And my part took probably about 9 months. So it's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years, that it took us to get this done.
It does take a long time. People don't realize what goes into putting a book together, and then once you're finished writing, all of the production parts and the editing and the formatting. And that is often true. When you finish a book, it can be a year or more before it's ready and out on the market.
That's right. That's right.
So you'll have it out in April. Where will it be available? Because you're using the kind of publisher you're using, I presume that it's going to be available widely, and maybe in brick and mortar stores if you can get it there?
That's exactly right. And those are some of the nuances that I've learned about book writing and book selling. Is if you go to like a Barnes & Noble, they have a whole process to get your book in. And then there's a difference whether, somebody buys the book and it's refundable or not refundable. I know some authors, they had that criteria. And so they didn't really pay attention until one day they got an invoice from Barnes & Noble. You owe us $1,200 because, all of these books were returned. And they didn't lose money. I mean, they made money on the deal. But, they didn't expect to get an invoice to have to give some money back. But that's how it works. And so the publisher and their PR firm, they're going to do a widespread on all the different outlets as far as, promoting the book. And anything that I can do to promote the book, such as this show, I will do, because I think it's of interest. I mean, everybody likes to eat, and I think that, you know, people may want to look at, hey, how does cutting meat, how does that work, and how does that compare with, you know, very precise, timely surgery, and so that's, I think, the interest that people may have.
Well, and one of the things that I like about your concept is people are so divorced from knowing where exactly the food came from and how to process it themselves for cooking at home that they almost forget that it used to be an animal that was cut up for consumption. So I think getting this information out there helps people make that connection again. And, you know, some people are grossed out by that these days. Oh, I don't want to eat anything that died. Well, that's what you're eating when you eat the chicken off the rotisserie counter at Costco. But you don't have to do the dirty work of learning how it came from full animal to your plate. And I like the idea of connecting it to the butchering process and reminding people what that is and how it works.
Yeah, that's right. And I, you know, for a long time, I think people don't realize, like you just said, you know, where does the food come from? But meat in particular, again, like you said, you know, some people would think, hey, wow, this is kind of strange to hear this conversation, but you know, it's just the reality. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think the interest there, it'll be nice to see what the interest level is going to be.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, my grandparents used to go out in the yard and take the animal down and completely process it. And I think we should learn more of that. And so I'm looking forward to reading your book. When it is ready and available, I would love it if you would let us know and we can help push it out there and we can share the links to places to purchase it. And I look forward to seeing it. I appreciate you coming in and sharing it with us this morning. And I also am very interested to see the documentaries that you come out with and watch some of the film things that you have going on. I appreciate you connecting with us, and we're happy to have you.
Well, you can see some of my videos. You can see one of my films called Medical Karma on my YouTube. You would look for Coronado Beach Productions. That's Coronado Beach Productions. So you can see the videos. You can see the trailer for I did a surf movie. That's a documentary. I did that last summer at New Smyrna Beach. So you can see all that on my YouTube, and you can see some other stuff there too. So
and the surf movie is pronounced Apres Surf?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Apres.
Yes.
Surf, for the people looking for it.
Yeah, and so that's the Apres is French for after. And mm-hmm. And the whole point of that documentary is that surfers, they have this incredible amount of adrenaline and dopamine circulating because of that kind of activity. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, they are very happy. They're very content. That's why they keep going back. You know,
it becomes addicting.
Yeah, it's almost like the runner's high. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And people just keep running because they keep getting, you know, these endorphins in their system, and it makes them feel good. And then long term, there's another neurochemical called serotonin, which just gives them the general feeling of happiness of having done, you know, surfing for months and years, and it just makes them very content. So that's sort of the point of the documentary. And a lot of the surfers, I probably interviewed 20 or 25 of them, and I have 6 of them on camera, and they talk about something called the stoke, which is like this incredible feeling of well-being mm-hmm. when they're surfing.
Interesting. Well, I follow through hiking, and I can't do it myself because of knee injury, but I see people saying the same thing when they've, you know, scaled the mountain or finished the long hike. They all seem to report similar aftermath.
Right, sure.
Well, that is amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today and telling us about your book and giving us a little about yourself. And we look forward to reading it. We will definitely help share it out there when it is ready for consumption.
Well, thank you, Shonda, and thank you for today's interview, and thank you for helping me promote the book.
We have been speaking with author George Ellis, MD, and look for his book coming out soon in April.